And the reason why is because there was a large group of people what were offended. You know, they started riots. They came after Paul and the friends. They were not happy people. In Proverbs, so we could turn Proverbs, or it'll be up there, Proverbs 22:24. Aubrey, do you feel like reading that? Do not go. So, what do you feel like it's telling us? Exactly. You know, those angry mans, you know, somebody who's a hothead, short-tempered, you know, a Karen. Mm-hmm. You know those people, right? Yeah. You know, they get loud and they want to win arguments by violence. You know, and anger is kind of like a disease. Because if you're around it, and if you're around it long enough, you get angry. Right? It kind of catches you. You know, and you start thinking, well, this is the right way to conduct ourselves. You know, we don't need that in our lives. Now, if you find yourself on the other end of this proverb, you know, not on, oh, I shouldn't be friends with them, but you should be the ones people shouldn't be friends with, we need to learn to control our emotions. You know, not saying it's going to always be easy, because there's times it's not easy to control that anger. But the goal is to have a thick skin and a soft heart. Mean you don't get offended easy, right? And you care for people, and that's why you don't get offended. For that, it is necessary. It's absolutely necessary is that we can be able to take our thoughts captive and have self-control. Now, this group in Thessalonica, you know, they couldn't do that. They absolutely couldn't do that. They started all kinds of trouble in the city. And then, to top it off, they caused all this trouble, and then they started to blame Paul and the Christians, saying, oh, well, it's because of them. It's because they're causing the trouble. They made me do this. You know, Paul, he's feeling bad. He's feeling bad because that night he had to leave. They kind of forced him to have to leave. And he knew because of him leaving, because they were coming after him, that that group would start to point fingers at anyone who is a Christian who's left in the city. So he's feeling bad for those people. You know, for those Thessalonians that might be being persecuted because of what he's been teaching them. So we start out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 through 4. It sounds worse than what it is.
Well, this one's two slides.
It's two slides. Maggie?
We
could break it up if we want. We could do one slide and one slide.
Okay.
Okay, fine.
Labor.
In the gospel of Christ to Allah,
establish
you and encourage you concerning your faith.
Hun?
Aubrey? No. Oh, okay. That no one should be shaken by these
afflictions.
Tribulations. Just as it happened
All right. So Paul could not take it anymore, right? He couldn't endure it. He couldn't endure this feeling that, oh, well, they're suffering and I'm not doing anything about it. He couldn't take it anymore. Now, I can't imagine the patience people had back then. Let me explain. Is today, you know, if the internet doesn't work instantly, you know, I roll my eyes, I get offended, it's annoying, right? And that's what it's there for, is to work instantly. Paul, you see here that he had to send Timothy. He had to send Timothy. Timothy then had to prepare for a long journey, which more than likely he would walk. Now, it's 313 miles from Thessalonica to Athens. So he'd probably have to walk that. You know, maybe catch a ride on a mule. If he had a car, it would take, in today's, in a car, if there was light traffic, it'd be 4 hours and 40 minutes. So it's longer than the valley. So it'd be like going to the other end of the valley from here, walking. So that'd take a little bit, right? You know, I don't know how good of shape Timothy is in. You know, I don't know if he's this marathon runner. Maybe he is. But he's doing good, I think. So Timothy would have to walk that 313 miles. He's going to stay there a while because you go that far, you're not just going like, oh, okay. Oh, you're doing good. That's great. And then leave. So he's staying there a while. Then after that, he has to walk back. So it's not really a quick answer, right? You know, Paul's question was, how are the Thessalonians doing? That's what he wants to know. And then Timothy's don't go on this long journey. You know, Paul was concerned. He's concerned, and that's why he could use Timothy's help, but he wants to send him because he needs to find out. He is worried if their faith had been shaken because of tribulations, meaning that they were wavering. They weren't solid. He wasn't sure. He sent Timothy to help establish and encourage their faith. Now, establishment, have you ever heard that word, right? What do you feel like it means? Or do you know the definition? Like, a lot of times you see it, like the companies, this was established in 1970 or...
Like published?
Yeah, I mean, there's publishers that are established. It means that they've been around a long time. They're secure. They're rooted, are, you know, they're firm and stable. You know, they're kind of permanent to be established. You know, it's like a permanent. You could count on them to be there. You know, it's something that is true. It shows true by the facts, right? And then encouragement, it's to... when you give somebody support, you know, you give them confidence, give them hope. Timothy was there so nobody would be shaken by their afflictions. So in order for us to stand strong, the Bible is telling us that we need two things, right? We need two things. We just went over, we need to be established, right? We need to be tried and true, meaning that things need to be tested so that we know we could stay, we could take it. It needs to be true in what we believe in. And then also, we need a cheerleader, right? We need somebody who encourages us to lift us up, and Jesus is great at that. He's awesome at that because he will never leave us or forsake us. So there's plus and plus, right? Now, people are the next best thing. You know, a best friend, you know, is good to be surrounded with people who care about us. And it's also very good that we care about other people. We need to care for others. Now, Paul knew these afflictions were happening because he knows that because he knows things always come against him. And the reasons things were coming against him is because he believed in Jesus. It's just, unfortunately, we live in this broken world that that's going to happen. And he knows this, so he warns the Thessalonians. He actually warns in the Bible, because it's in there, he warns all Christians that this is a fallen world. And Christians, their faith will be tested from time to time. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, Michelle.
For this reason, when I can no longer endure it, I send to know your faith, lest by
So Paul, what he was also worried about is that he didn't equip them well enough, meaning that he didn't teach them enough. When the tempter, and the tempter would be Satan in this, he comes around, they would be tempted. And that would mean that Paul kind of failed them. He didn't teach them strong enough to be strong, to stand strong, and his labor would be in vain. Going through school, you've gone through Blue Ridge, like you said, first grade. You've probably seen some kids picking on another kid. Or at least in me growing up, I've seen that, right? And going through school. And depending on who you are, this can teach you a couple things. Now, you could have mob mentality and you could start picking on the same kid with them. Or you could think to yourself, "Is like, this isn't right. And I don't want to pick on people. I don't want to pick on anybody." Now, hopefully it's the latter. Hopefully you're not the bullies of the school. Now, if we don't stand up for truth, we won't have truth in our life. Because, what is it if we're not going to stand up for this and we just let something go by? If we don't stand up for hypocrisy, a hypocrite, he's don't be the one teaching. If we don't stand up to those bullies, then they're winning. There are times it's hard to stand up for yourself. You feel intimidated. You feel like there's a lot of pressure. But the Bible tells us that we need to stand strong. Not just for ourselves. We need to stand strong so that we could stand for other people. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 and 9. I'll go ahead and read that. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So a hungry lion, right? If you could imagine a hungry lion, if there's no bars between you and it, it's kind of a scary thing. Right? In the zoo, at least there's bars. Usually there's a fence and they're way off in the distance. But it'd be a scary thing if you actually met a lion in the wilderness. Right? However, standing strong will encourage other people to stand strong along with you. Right? And that's a force to be reckoned with. If you have people with you standing strong, encouraging each other. And know that you're not alone because people to the right and left of you are looking for that. They want to help. They want to stand strong alongside you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 6 and 7. Aubrey. Desiring.
Desiring to see us as we also to see you, therefore.
Brethren.
Brethren, in all our
afflictions.
Afflictions and
distress.
Distress. We were confronted considering you by your faith.
Awesome. So Timothy, he comes back, right? He has good news. It's that, oh, great, you know, they're standing strong. Their faith is doing good. Now, Paul's comforted not because of the distress, not because of the afflictions. He'd be a horrible person if he was comforted because of that, right? He's not happy that they're going through that. He's happy that even though the devil's roaming around like a lion, you know, looking for somebody, that the Thessalonians are standing together, that they're standing strong. That's what makes him happy. He's happy that their faith is strong, that he taught them and that they're receiving it and they're growing in their faith. And it isn't shaken. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 8. Through 10.
Okay.
Maggie.
8 through 10?
Yeah.
Okay. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord, for what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying
exceedingly. So before this letter, and the reason Paul's writing this letter, he found out that they were doing good. But before that, remember that Paul, he was worried. He was discouraged. He was probably feeling a little depressed. We read in other books that he was actually feeling weak. Now, knowing that the Thessalonians were standing strong in Jesus, that gave Paul new breath, meaning it gave him life, right? It encouraged him, it re-energized him, saying, yes. You know, typically, I don't know how much you guys know about Paul, but I mean, I think most people think of Paul as kind of a juggernaut. You know, Paul can do anything for God. He's just always on it, right? He's doing so good, but he's still only human. He's still only human. Humans need help. We all need help. And there's nothing bad or shameful about asking for help. There are some people that don't like to ask for help. I've gone through that. I'm still in it sometimes. I like to take things myself, but I even know I need help. Sometimes it's just hard to get to that point where you ask for help. But you need to ask for help because we all are there. That's why Paul prays day and night. He's always praying, exceedingly, meaning he's, you know, you think, oh, I prayed enough. No, Paul prayed more. You know, he's always praying. He knew that perfect is something that he hasn't achieved, or no one can achieve perfectness. Only Jesus has been perfect. He knows that he can't achieve it, but it's always something to shoot for, to work towards. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Michelle. So Paul presses on. He's always pressing forward. He's always moving forward. No matter what comes against him, he presses on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 11 through 13. That is me. It's so long. Huh? You want to read it? Oh, okay. So chapter 3, Paul ends this chapter, you know, with a prayer. You know, he's praying. He's praying for the Thessalonians to continue following Jesus, to let Jesus, you know, lead them, to direct them in the way they should go, to increase their love towards another. That's what Paul is always praying for, is his people that he leads to being saved. And then there's that word again, established. I mean, that they need to be steadfast. They need to be secure, rooted in their beliefs. Being rock steady, having no blame, no blame in being holy. So that when Jesus returns, he will say in Matthew 25, 21. So well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that's what we want to hear from God. And God wants to just hear from us, you know, but we desire that he's pleased with us. Right? Now, trouble comes and goes, but the Lord is here forever. In Psalms 49, verse 16, 59, I have trouble with numbers. Michelle?
But I will sing of your power, yes. I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and my refuge in my day of trouble.
He's talking about God, right? God is always there for us. He wants to help us. All we have to do is call out to him. You know, he wants to be there, and we could be in his protection, and he will lift us up. So I'll end us in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you again for everything you do. And we pray that we just increase in you, that we increase in your love, that we learn from you and we show others the love that you have. Lord, we just pray that we know when afflictions come against us, that you are there, that we call out for help from you, and that you will help us in your troubles. I pray for those who are not doing well right now, Lord, who are or possibly have afflictions as far as, you know, physical ones, are just not feeling well, being ill, sick. Lord, we pray for those. Just be with them and comfort them and a healing hand upon them. I pray that our day goes well and we always have you on our side. In Jesus' name, amen.